98.5 The Sports Hub. We're touching Rich. Danny Ainge, the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics, and is brought to you by GE. GE is creating game-changing solutions and advanced analytics for peak performance on the parquet. GE, the exclusive data and analytics partner of the Boston Celtics. Hello, Mr. Danny Ainge.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
We are doing well. Your phone sounds fantastic.
Nice.
How does the black card, Chipotle black card, work? Do they just continue to charge and put more like money on it, or is it just where you walk in and is there a limit to what you can spend at any given time?
Yeah, it's just one entree.
Oh, that's it?
Yep.
What if you want a beverage? You gotta lay into the wallet for that?
No. That, like, you can have a beverage and, you know, like, just it's one person's meal. I can't pay for the whole front office.
Okay, there was a picture that came out. Was it you? Which player did you bring to Chipotle? Was it Kyrie Irving?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, what do the players say when you say, let's go out to lunch, and it's not like a super nice restaurant, they walk into Chipotle? Are they thrilled or otherwise?
Well, you know, so I started doing this in the draft process, and would give players choices of lots of different places, from nice restaurants to, I mean, but the players were picking places like Chick-fil-A or Chipotle or Be Good. I mean, they would rather go someplace that's not, you know, junk food, but faster food.
Does that say something to you in the draft process?
Is that part of how you scout them?
No, I mean, my kids do the same thing. I mean, these guys are 18 and 19 year old kids coming in through this process, so our players are the same way. They, with a few exceptions, but I think the older they get, the more they want to. They would prefer to go to a nicer place, but it's a comfortable and low key place.
Have you ever taken like a junior or a senior from college out, and they just started like slamming martinis back?
No.
Okay. Would you look negatively at them if they did?
Probably so.
Well, first of all, congratulations. The team is playing very well. I know we got the game this evening, and Marcus Smart's return was almost as Marcus Smart of a return as you could get. I think he was 2 for 7, but the guy got out there and within 30 seconds was diving on the floor, made big defensive plays. First of all, the whole process of him coming back, when did you know that game five was going to be the game, and how was the process of him being cleared to come back and play for you guys?
You know, I didn't know. Marcus might have known sooner, but I didn't really know until just a couple hours before the game, because that was the first time I had a chance to talk with Marcus and ask him the questions. Now, Marcus had originally scheduled an appointment in New York on Tuesday. He wanted that changed to Monday, just so in case there was a chance he could play on Tuesday. He met with the doctor, and I asked Marcus, like, what did the doctor tell you the risks were? Our trainer, Ed Art Horn, was there with Marcus in New York, and as it was, Marcus had his friend there. But anyway, the risk factor, they said that if he wore a splint and taped it this way, the way that they'd showed him how to do it all, and that he had the same risk of hurting that bum as he did his good thumb. So Marcus said, okay, I want to play. And we talked it through and went through all the testing and everything else, and he was okay to play.
But as the president of basketball operations, how much of a heart attack does it give you when in the very first play he falls down on the ground right on that hand that just was injured?
Yeah, no, like, he's just insane. I just couldn't believe it. Like, nobody does that. Like, the first play of the game, first play he's back after, you know, 6 weeks out with a surgically repaired thumb. I mean, he just dives with that right arm going for a loose ball, and he's a unique guy that way, and I'm not sure I could think of anybody else that would do that.
You know, Brad Stevens once again kind of shocked everyone with the starting Semi Ojeleye, and it ended up working. I mean, the defense that he played throughout the entire game, and especially on Giannis Antetokounmpo, I think he only took 10 shot attempts.
Yes, 10 shots,
which is kind of ridiculous. When you see something that drastic being done, and I know you trust Brad Stevens, but have you ever had a case where you just kind of wanted to maybe talk to him and see where his head was at, why you make a decision that drastic, because that is a drastic decision in a playoff game.
You know, Brad and I talk every day, and we talk all the time, and I knew that he was thinking about that, and it wasn't a clear-cut decision. I'm not even sure he was certain of who he was going to start, you know, even 2 hours before the game. But, you know, he saw something in game four, the second half, when we made a good run. We had a good chance to win that game, and he saw how the defense had responded. And you know, with Shimmy on the court, we can do a lot more switching. And he just liked that style of defense more than he did what we had been doing. So he stuck with it, and you know, our defense has been good in the last five quarters.
Danny, with Kyrie Irving out, your offense has looked a lot different. It's had to look a lot different against Milwaukee in this series. And as a result, you're discovering things about your younger players and even some of your older ones as you move along. Obviously, Jaylen Brown has been a go-to scorer, especially from the perimeter. But I want to know what your view is on Al Horford, the go-to scorer, because it seems like, especially the last few games, he's been a focal point of the offense, whereas he really hasn't had to do that since he got here.
Well, Al has had stretches throughout his 2 years here where he has been the focal point. I mean, it's not ideal, but he's capable of doing it in short stretches. You know, like Al has never been that, like, go-to guy in an NBA series or an NBA game for an entire game like a Kyrie Irving or a Kevin Durant or some of those types of guys, but very few people are. But Al is certainly capable of holding the fort down as our go-to guy for stretches of the game. We just need other guys to step up offensively as well. Like, Al's not a guy that's going to go out and get you 30-something, but he's capable of getting you 20. And we just need more of our offensive guys to step up. We hit some offensive lulls last game. We had some great looks. And we just didn't knock them down, and tonight we're going to need to win on the road.
And there's always hatred that occurs over the length of a playoff series, and you saw tempers flare between Eric Bledsoe and Terry Rozier during the last game. What is your view of that particular circumstance and of hatred in general building up over a long playoff series like it has here?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just natural. It's, you know, guys are – these are those two guys' first opportunity to start in a playoff series and play significant, and there's a battle going on. And I think that, you know, words were shared just, you know, when Terry mistakenly called him Drew Bledsoe, and then he asked one of our guys, he goes, "Who is Drew Bledsoe anyway?"
That's right. That's right.
Did you see, by the way, that Terry Rozier went on Drew Bledsoe's Instagram account and liked one of his things and put, "My man."
And then you know, Bledsoe saying he didn't know who Terry Rozier was. I mean, it starts with that kind of stuff. And then it got chippy on the court. Neither one of them were making shots last game at the pace that they wanted. And there's just frustration that happens. Heck, frustration happens in the fifth day of training camp when you're going against the same players all the time and you're trying to have success. But you got a tough competitor, and I'm not too worried about it. I know the referees will be watching that tonight and watching that matchup and make sure nothing happens.
Do you think Marcus Morris is getting unfairly targeted for technicals?
I honestly don't know. I know that Marcus feels that he is, but I don't know if he is or he isn't. This last technical, I don't know what he say. What he said, he looks like he just checked into the game and went and was standing next to the referee and was talking to him. And then next thing you know, it's a technical. I just don't know. You know, technicals are so inconsistent in our league. Sometimes they're, you don't have to do very much, but it's the third or fourth time you've said something. Sometimes you can just like raise your arms in the air in protest of a call without saying a word. But it's the, you know, the referee's mood at that moment. He's just tired of hearing or seeing the antics, and you're just in the wrong place at the wrong time to get a technical.
Do you believe it's the fact that he slapped one of the refs on the ass and it's coming back to bite him?
I don't know. I don't think that was that big of a deal. I don't think that every referee would look at that and say, oh, you know, we're going to get this guy. I don't think that's that is that big of a deal. But I think that things like that, I think, can haunt a player for a little while. But I'm not sure that that would move.
How often do you put together, like, those videos? Because, there's been... I'm trying to think back. I guess the Atlanta Hawks famously did it against you guys a couple of years ago, where they put together like a DVD or a video montage of things that they believed were fouls that certain players on other teams were committing, and they sent them to the refs. How often do you guys do that as an organization? Not you specifically, but the Celtics. How often do you guys package things together and send it to the refs to look out for certain plays?
Well, so the league makes that available, and we've used that ourselves in over the course of the years in the playoffs, almost every year in the playoffs at some point or another. But we have found out that it really doesn't change anything. I mean, it's almost just like a forum for us to vent our frustrations, and the league just, you know, I'm not sure there's a lot of action taken on those, because like all the referees don't see them. It goes to the headquarters, the people that are over the referees, and I don't even know how much that gets translated back down to the referees, but at least we have a voice and we can say something when we're frustrated about how the game is being officiated.
All right, Danny Ainge, best of luck this evening, and hopefully we talk to you next week when you are knee-deep in round two.
How about those Bruins last night?
I'll tell you what, I thought there was no chance, and then they came in and they actually – did their business.
Did you see your buddy Heinsohn waving the flag before the game?
Yeah. Hey, Tommy's the best.
He hasn't done that since the Revolutionary War.
All right. Seven goals, though.
I know. Yeah. It wasn't a defensive masterpiece, that's for sure.
All right, just my last question, because I haven't been following this. So my last question is, who do you guys want the Patriots to draft?
It would be great for us if they drafted a quarterback. I mean, that would be hysterical.
Our job would be much easier,
right? Because people are going to lose their minds if that happens. I mean, and you know, they need one.
They've been working out a quarterback named Lamar Jackson.
So I hope it's that guy, because he's legitimately good, and that would scare people.
And they would have to trade up to get him. So that's basically what we're hoping.
But ultimately, Danny, they're going to stay at 23 and 31 and take a tackle and a linebacker,
right?
Well, Lamar Jackson's a pretty exciting player, that's for sure.
Yeah, that would be fun. That would definitely be fun. All right, Danny.
All right. Good talking to you guys.
All right, we'll see you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
I don't like being put on the spot like that.
I like to be the one asking the questions, damn it.
Yeah. I want to keep playing hockey, and they just want to turn your A game, and that's all that goes through their heads.
We want the cup! Seconds left on the power play. Here's Krejci Parser, feathered up top. Pastrnak, Rister, they score! That was Jake DeBrusk with a tip down low, just off the far post, and he angles it in. A power play goal! The Bruins have tied the game in Boston. Jake DeBrusk, the Bruins tie it. Krejci digging away, centered, deflected, out in front, Heinen shoots, he scores! Seconds left here in the first. Near point, Miller shoots, looking for a bank right of the net. They score! What a savvy play by Kevin Miller. He saw that he didn't have a lane. Went for a bank shot off the end boards. Comes up the far side. And it's Patrice Bergeron in the far circle who snapped it into the empty net. And the Bruins have a 3-2 lead with 36 seconds left in the first.
This is from me. This is from Nicky Knuckles to Anderson. Anderson, I'm looking for you. You two-faced rat.
No one's gonna take me alive. The time has come to make things right.
Kevin Miller with the puck. High slack to Krug.
Four against four was 18:54 to go in the third.
Kevin Miller with the puck, high slack through,
fires, and scores! A face-off win! Torrey Krug with a blast at the high slot! Long
the shoulder, shoots, he scores! DeBrus trying to get it, he scores! And DeBrus wrestled a wrister by Freddie Anderson, 5-4 Bruins! Crashing in on it, front is Pasternak, he scores! David Pasternak all by himself!
Pasta.
Get up around 10 a.m., eat a bowl of pasta.
1 minute remaining in regulation at game 7. 6-4 Bruins. Bruins with a puck. Marchand angles over the red line. Backhand scores!
I'm not Marymount Park in Quincy, and I will school you at street hockey.
All season long, the Bruins have been resilient. All season long, the Boston Bruins have found a way. Tonight, trailing, heading into the third period, the Boston Bruins the Bruins win it in game 7. Victorious 7-4 over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Goodbye, Toronto. Hello, Tampa.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich.
I just got kind of excited. I looked at the schedule for the upcoming series. Starts Saturday at 3, and then you've got the next game on Monday, and it's every other day. But I've got a friend who's coming in town on May 2nd, and I looked, and that's the first home game. And I told him if the Bruins were playing or the Celtics were playing, I would try to get some tickets. So now I got to dig some up.
Take a look at those start times, Freddie T. Take a look at those start times.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
Yes, sir.
Now, are you going to try to finagle tickets, or are you going to have to purchase them?
If I got to purchase them, I will. But, I mean, I'll try to use every, you know, kind of alleyway that we have here to somehow get some for free. But if I can't,
the best success I've had is bitching on the air about not getting free tickets.
Man, I don't have tickets to game 3.
So because Chimura listens to the show, yeah. And then he'll, like, text me and be like, "Dude, you want tickets?" So just, I would consistently bitch about it.
I think I might do
that's
that.
That's the way I get it. That's what I teach my kids, too.
Just complain until you get it.
The Fields and Newton better not be closed today. I can tell you that much while game.
Fields and Boston are. They
already?
After the rain, yes. Yep, they already canceled all
no
the games.
No kidding. Well, yep, I can tell you, Natick practice is still on as far as I know.
Because I need a outdoor activity so I can relax.
Yeah.
It's been too much pressure. Mm-hmm. I went out. I drank last night.
Yeah.
In order to handle the whole situation.
Have you reestablished the Apple TV? Have you plugged the Xbox back in?
Oh, John. Okay, so we had paid someone $1,000 to never. I bought a house like right before Bluetooth took off.
Yeah, if you would have waited six more months.
Here.
Yeah.
So
here.
I have useless wires yep. all through the wall.
Yeah. Sure.
So I paid these guys $1,000. It ended up being, I didn't think it was going to be anywhere near that. It's funny, whenever I take a picture of the TV and put it on Instagram, people are like, "What's up with the wire?"
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I'm like,
sorry.
I'm like, what do you want me to do? I'm like, I keep $1,000. Apparently, they can't put a wire in. So there's all these useless wires like hanging out. And I went back there because the Apple TV crapped out. Mm-hmm. And I got rid of 8 wires. Got a new Apple TV, a new splitter.
Okay.
And got that thing running like nobody's business.
Mm. Very nice.
That's how I watched. I only watched 10 minutes of a Family Guy last night.
Oh.
Because I was consumed with the game because Rich had texted me. I tried to watch it when it was, 5-4? I tried to watch it.
And notice I didn't even text you at 5-4.
No, I tried to watch it, but the DirecTV was out because of the rain.
I waited
I was in a bar. I watched the second period of the bar, which everyone was really confident.
Oh, that's sad. It was not a fun period.
No, it was an awful period. They played terribly, and they're very fortunate to get out the way they did. But
It kept crapping out.
In the bar?
Yeah, and it was all when Toronto had the puck in the Bruins zone. So it would crap out, and everyone would be sitting there. And then just exhale, like as soon as you saw that miraculously Toronto hadn't scored.
Right.
So, that was I want Little League Baseball tonight. And then I can go home and watch the draft and the Celtics and everything and have a quiet evening at home. That's all I'm asking for. Too much pressure last night. Too much pressure. And I thought there was no way they were going to win. I thought that ever since game six, then I thought, and then obviously during the game in the second period, I thought there was no way they were going to win. But thankfully, they did draft DeBrusk in the first round when everyone thought they had overdrafted him.
See, I think that this game seven, if they make it to a game seven, it's not going to be as stressful. And the reason being is that it's a massive disaster if they lose last night.
Yes.
It's a disaster.
It's a waste of a season.
If they lose this series, even though I think we've seen by the way they played this team, they're the better team. I mean, you're losing to a team that was seeded higher than you.
You're also losing to the team that was the best in the conference.
Sure. It's unlucky that you
should play them in round two.
It's not like the killer punch in the gut that it would have been last night.
Yeah.
So I think as far as the high stress is concerned, now, if they do win that, then the stress goes all over again. Because all of a sudden you risk not making it to the Stanley Cup final.
It depends on how they play this series.
If they lose 4-1, that's a kick.
No, and it also if it's...
Also, a massive collapse. Oh, they're listening to you, Fred. Your phone is listening to you.
It said, hey, Siri, they'll lose 4 games tomorrow.
What would you like to hear? You have results from multiple leagues?
I'm not touching the phone.
Just say, hey, Siri, and ask it a question real quick. Don't touch any buttons. Just say, hey, Siri, what was the score of the game last night?
Hey, Siri, what was the score of the game last night?
It's listening, dude. Dude, Skynet is here. Turn it off. Turn that setting off.
I don't use Siri. I don't even know how to use it.
Well, it knows how to use you.
Wow.
That was weird.
That's very eerie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How do you turn off Siri?
You can go to your settings and turn it off to where you just don't even have to touch it. Like, I
literally never use Siri.
Yeah, with like a Samsung, it's okay, Google. And you say, okay, Google, and it does whatever.
Right. All right. Well, there you go.
Rich. It's like the Alexas. Remember how the Alexas, there was that thing where it was laughing at people in the middle of the night?
Yep.
There was like a creepy laugh that started playing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Alexa, play 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now you got two radios going.
Okay, Google, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Alexa, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app if you can do it. All right. Yeah, it depends. It depends if they play a game seven. It's like on Rask. Like if he falls apart, then you're gonna be super pissed off. I don't know. The way that they played this regular season is disappointing. If they don't make the conference finals, I'll say that. I'll be pissed off if they don't make the conference finals.
I would say that if it wasn't so jacked up that the NHL has in the second round, you playing the one seed. I would agree with you except for that.
It's just bad luck this year.
Listen, I think they should. And matter of fact, I think they might be favored.
I wouldn't rather play Vegas. I wouldn't rather play Pittsburgh. I can tell you that.
Which is the round after this one.
Yeah, but
talk about the gauntlet.
And they would have had home ice if they hadn't tanked the last 3 games of the season. So it's on them.
But I mean, think about this. Now that you've gotten by Toronto, things get really hard.
Yeah.
Now that you outlasted a team you should have beaten in 7 games, and you had to score 4 in the third period to beat them. Now you have to play the best team in the conference during the regular season, and if you win that one, you either have to play the team that you always lose to in Washington, or you have to play the team that's the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion.
I have a rebuttal for all of it. First of all, we all agree that Tampa Bay is a better matchup, despite the deeper talent and higher-end talent.
And yes, the top-end talent is far better. Yes.
Far better, but we agree that it's a better matchup style. Stylistically,
yes, I would agree.
Than there was with in Toronto, and Toronto has the best coach, one of the best coaches in the history of hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And you're dealing with a team that doesn't have that.
Yeah, Tampa Bay has the X factor of the otherworldly goaltender when he's on.
And I can tell you
that it is a good matchup.
If based on Washington's history, if they by some miracle beat the Penguins, they will diarrhea down their legs in the conference finals. So,
except they never played the Bruins in the playoffs. That's the problem.
Well, because they always are out of the playoffs.
I know, but it just it would. The Bruins never beat Washington. Can we agree on this?
Sure.
They beat Washington.
But Washington always underperforms in the playoffs.
They do terrible things in the postseason. We've discussed this. They have the best goal scorer of a generation, and they can't get out of their own way. I agree.
Enjoy football, food, and more with Tom Brady at the Best Buddies Challenge June 1st and 2nd. Register today at teamtombrady.com. Rich, we have the stack coming up.
Mm-hmm. We have Vegas prop bets for the NFL draft this evening, and one of the best shows of our childhood is returning to television.
Mama's Family?
No, not Mama's Family. I didn't say the best show. I said one of the best
shows. Double Trouble?
Hill Street Blues.
You're closer than you think.
Double Trouble. My Two Dads?
Come on. Like they could bring back the magic of Cool Wikis.
227.
You know who did really well after that was the guy that wasn't Paul Reiser. You see him everywhere.
Yes, the guy with the painted on beard. Yeah. It was like the worst beard.
He was a carefree artist, and Paul Reiser.
What was the Jonathan Silverman show with my man Joey Slotnick?
The single guy. Which was not a bad show.
I'm not saying it was. I'm asking. That wasn't it.
Herman's Head?
Herman's Head. Only you watched Herman's Head.
Well, because...
was that one of the Virgin Fox shows? Like when Fox first came on, wasn't that one of the first ones?
Sure. I don't know.
It was like Married with Children. It was The Simpsons. And
it wasn't even The Simpsons. It was the...
Oh, the Tracy Ullman show.
Tracy Ullman show.
Yeah, you're right.
Everyone insists is very funny, and it's just like nails on a chalkboard.
You know why I watched the Tracy Ullman show? For The Simpsons skits.
Those were so bad, though.
But back then, it was new, or it was like refreshing.
Just the animation was terrible.
It is different.
Okay, so all that is coming up. We already did the headlines.
Nope.
Not yet.
I ran that late?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought I was on time. All right, here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Just let it ride.
All right, so what's going on, Rich?
All right, well, one of my favorite shows from my childhood, a show that I liked so much that I begged my mother when I found out there were going to be tryouts in town. When I say in town, 40
Double
miles
Dare.
Away. Double Dare is returning to Nickelodeon. Mm. As a matter of fact, it will be coming back this summer with 40 new episodes, and Mark Summers not announced as the host because apparently his life was a silent hell while he was doing the show because he's got, what do you call
OCD.
It?
OCD.
He's got bad OCD, so anything that was out of place or dirty would drive him insane, and this is a show that would just have chocolate syrup and peanut butter and jelly just smashed all over the place.
It
and
was
every
so
night-
bad, he had a throw rug with fringe on it, and he would comb the fringe.
Yeah, yeah.
Fringe. Like he had like a insane OCD.
I can't think of a worse show for someone who has OCD to end up hosting. Oh, is it Siri again spying on you?
No.
Okay.
The pharmacy calls 17 times a day.
Well, they are going to bring back some of the more famous things like the human hamster wheel, the gigantic mouth, the ringer, and the giant nose in which you go in.
But Nickelodeon already has a bunch of these things. They have one where it's like the future. You go through these mazes where paint sprays, and then it's actually kind of cool. And then they put you in this machine, and it tells you what percentage of your stuff is still clean. I mean, they've gone past Double Dare. Double Dare is the rotary phone, and the space shuttle is the dang paint game.
Okay. Well said. There's actually a oral history that I forget what magazine did of Double Dare. You probably haven't read it.
I have. It's amazing, first of all. Like, there was, like, people who, like, snapped their necks and, you know, tried to sue Nickelodeon forever, you know, for, like, a ton of stuff. But in the end, they were just happy with a brand new Huffy and, like, $40. Like, they would pay them off with the crappiest stuff, these horrible lawsuits. There was a million times where they would go out there, and because, you know, legally they're supposed to be awarded this prize, they would go out and none of the things were working. Like the hamster wheel wouldn't turn, and so the parents would get pissed, and they would have to, like, someone would fall and smack their neck, and they would have to ask them to do it all over again because they didn't get the shot. It's a quick read, but it's excellent. And it also talks a little bit about Mark Summers and how his life was hell behind the scenes because of all the goo and stuff that was flying everywhere. So Double Dare is going to be returning. If you have kids, I'm sure you are already abreast of the situation. The prop bets have come out that Vegas says you can bet on. 2018 NFL Draft. And amongst the things you could bet on is Baker Mayfield's draft position. The over-under is at 6.5. It sounds to me like you take the under on that one, according to all the news coming out.
I think Josh Allen's going to fall.
The over is
would be 6.5 or higher. Like, he gets picked at number 7 or 8 or 9.
Pounding under, yes.
Yeah, I would think that would be a safe bet. Although Vegas saying that it's 6.5 is kind of shocking.
I think he goes 5 or 6, because that's, I guess, 5 and 6 are open for business. That Denver's willing to trade down, and obviously the Colts are willing to trade down.
Okay, so is the Giants are 2?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, all right. And number 3 is?
The Jets.
The latest I heard yesterday, and of course it all could be smoke screens, that Cleveland's in business. They're thinking about dropping back from 4.
Yeah.
Keeping 1 and dropping back from 4.
Oh, 4 and 5 is what I heard. And then apparently the Jets, according to the bald guy on Fox.
Jay Glazer.
Are very in on Josh Rosen. All right. I hit a great Mark Summers story, and I was going to take the call.
Oh. Well, Mark Summers one time got in a fight. Like, he called into Sean Hannity's show and started screaming at him about politics. And it's actually one of the hardest I've ever laughed at anything on radio before, because, you know, Sean Hannity, whatever you think about him, he had, like, the best comeback. Because I guess at the time, Mark Summers was hosting a show about the history of food. And he goes, and he's like, hey, call me back when I want to know the history of the tomato. And he goes, hey, well, what's the story behind lollipops, huh? Like, every time he would scream about politics, he would just come back with, like, insults about food.
That's not fair. Mark Summers is a treasure.
He is a treasure. Yes, he is. Lamar Jackson's draft position, they got him at 17.5. That's kind of strange.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Okay, where do you think Barkley's going to get drafted?
Saquon Barkley?
Mm-hmm.
No lower than 4.
Because they got him at 4.5. Who do you go with?
No lower than 4.
It's all dependent. Oh, because the Giants could take Chubb.
Yep.
So it's all dependent on if Cleveland keeps the pick.
Mm-hmm.
And if New York keeps the pick.
Yep.
Because if I'm New York, I'm not taking a quarterback.
And according to Vegas, who do they have as favored to be the first overall pick in this draft?
Darnold. As of when?
Darnold.
Well, this was as of yesterday
evening.
Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
And then it goes, after that, Josh Allen. And then after that, they go Baker Mayfield, Barkley, and then Chubb, Rosen, then Chubb. That's what they rank in order of who's going to be the first overall pick.
Cleveland can mess this thing up 5 ways till Sunday.
Why would anyone put any money on Barkley or Chubb? Cleveland's not going to take Barkley or Chubb.
Well,
they're not.
You would think
not. They're not.
Because at 4, you could say, okay, we'll hold on to 4, and we'll take Allen at 4, and we'll take Barkley at 1. I could see them doing that.
So I'm gonna give up. Everything is so even with the quarterbacks that I'm willing to take a chance that 3 are off the board and I'll be satisfied with whoever's at 4.
Yes.
There's no way.
That's such a Cleveland thing to do. I believe it will actually happen. And it takes you 5 seconds. You look at any scouting report about Saquon Barkley. He's apparently the best back in a generation. So I can see Cleveland saying, you know what? Let's take the best back in a generation. We'll get a quarterback at 4.
No, there's,
I can
there's
see
no
them
way.
Doing that.
There's no way.
Finally, we'll all.
By the way, if that happens and it won't, the Giants just say, "What do you? Okay, give me like 5 first round picks because you'll get the first quarterback off the board."
Correct.
No.
Finally, will all 3 top picks be quarterbacks? What is favored? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
Nope. No is favored. It's -190. Yes is 145. That's a bet I would take. I would take that one. I do believe that the top three are going to be quarterbacks.
Someone will find their way up to two.
If I'm the Giants, I don't trade out of that. I don't trade out of that slot.
And well, the thing is, no one knows what's real and what's fake surrounding the Giants.
And I wouldn't take a quarterback because I don't think this draft class is that exceptional. And also, you have Eli Manning. You don't have to take a quarterback.
I can't see
this
the
draft.
Giants using their number two pick on a running back. Like, that just seems ridiculous.
That seems to be the wisdom this morning, anyway.
Well, I've heard if they keep it, it's Chubb or Barkley. I don't even think, a lot of people don't think Chubb's that great. It's just this draft class has no pass rushers. We will find out what Zolak and Bertrand have going on. We'll have that in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Kutcher and Rich.
The Sports Hub. We are Kutcher and Rich. So again, you can't say we didn't talk about hockey today. But
lots of sports this morning. Lots of sports.
Well, I mean, it was huge. It was a game I was certain they were going to lose, the Bruins, and I was not alone in the second period. First of all, no one I talked to was really optimistic about them winning. I mean, there were, and I even listened to Felger and Maz, and no one was calling in like, hey, they're going to win. Yeah.
Well, no one called us and was certain that they were going to win. How could you be after you saw the way that they had played the previous two games?
And there was a history of this happening. And so, and then in the second period when I was out, I mean, it was like a, you could hear a pin drop. What actually you could hear is was an open mic night in the other room, and you could hear you could hear people singing.
was really that guy there?
Oh,
was the guy with the long hair there?
I haven't seen. I haven't been to the bar on a Thursday night in a really long time.
All right.
It's in another room.
Well, you were just telling me there was that one guy, a local former local celebrity, who would come in.
He's an old weather guy here.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And now I think he just bops around to karaoke places and rocks the mic.
Right.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know. To be honest with you, believe it or not, it's the first Thursday I've been to that bar in months. But it's a good place to. I wanted to be with the people, and plus it's a mile walk each way, so I was able to work off some stress.
Mm-hmm.
But congratulations to the Bruins, the Celtics tonight, the draft tonight. Have fun staying up till 11:30 if you really, really want to.
And then watch the Patriots trade back.
It sucks that Gruden isn't doing this anymore. Yeah. It really does. Because I used to like the disdain that he had for Mel Kiper Jr.
Yeah.
He did not enjoy him talking over him and like questioning anything that Gruden would say.
The problem with Gruden is he liked 99.9% of the picks.
He got salty near the end.
Okay.
Like in the last couple of years, Gruden actually was critical of some of the players.
Okay, because that wasn't always the case.
No. At the beginning, it was great because he fawned over literally everyone. But he got a little salty there near the end.
When the draft was on Saturdays, you could have people over, you'd drink, you'd gamble. This Thursday night thing, all you got to do, now with YouTube, all you got to do is just get up in the morning or watch something else and find out who they drafted and watch a YouTube thing on them. Lord knows there's going to be 7,000 who won the draft articles.
And grades.
By the way, go to ESPN and read what the way they've rated players in the past, like their top 50 players.
Oh, sure.
And see how many of them are actually still in the league or had any kind of success. Because outside, remember when Eric Fisher was the number one pick in the draft from Central Michigan?
Offensive lineman, yeah.
Yeah, he's about as average can be. Way to blow that pick. Scott Zolak, Hardy here.
Morning. What's up? What's going on?
You get a look at some little research?
Just trying to log on. Some days you get in, some days you don't.
Yeah,
I know. It's tough.
Never know. Like, today's not a good day.
Today's a good day for me. The first good day in a while.
You got in?
Yep, and it stayed
in. I'm having issues. My kids were laughing at Wallach. We were sitting at home early this morning, like, Dad, who's the kid? Why is the kid use the USA shirt? Is he not from here?
What?
It's like, normally, like, I don't know. You get like a, never mind, Wallach. Hey, how does he not know if he's calling a game or not?
He's
not.
You are.
Wait a minute.
He is.
So this would be like me missing a playoff game.
Yes.
It would be.
What's he doing?
No, it would be more like you missing a regular season game. I mean, the Patriots playoff games are certainly enough.
I don't know if it's a game seven. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Elimination game? Are you kidding me, Fred?
That's a big deal.
That's a big walk.
Well, it could be a game seven.
You're crushing it.
It could be a game
seven.
Thank
you. Always do.
Might be a game seven.
Doesn't mean the
if it's a game seven, then you are calling the biggest game of the year, and Sean Grandy is not.
Correct.
Yep. That's strange.
How does that happen?
It's just so much pressure for Wallach, and you know he's not going to do well.
What are you going to wear?
That's why I feel bad for him.
Don't wear that.
I mean, Hardy, in fairness, you're talking to at least 15 cab drivers during that game.
Uber, Lyft.
That's right.
Well, usually Uber likes to, they like to play like a little bit of like new age jazz to like get you in the mile.
Did you have that guy in Minneapolis? And when I say that guy, I mean like all the guys in Minneapolis driving the Ubers love the new age jazzy stuff.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
I had Rich drive me around. It was all right.
Our best cab ride ever was in the city of Detroit during a preseason game. I forget which year, a couple years ago. It was me, Soci, and Capello. And this dude, I think, was tapped. And halfway through the ride, we just said, pull over. Can you please let us out here? Because like, we thought we were going to end up like in the backyard somewhere in this freezer.
It used to be before Uber.
He put everything out, like what he hated, what he liked, and without getting into anything.
Oh, man.
Like 10 years ago,
not comfortable.
Not easy to get a cab in Detroit.
Like, sir, pull over, please.
Like, really not easy to get a cab in Detroit.
I never took one.
What's that?
Never once took a cab. I mean, that's a major American city. I don't think I ever saw a cab.
Yeah, now everything's normal down there.
I went in an Uber the other day, and the guy said, would you like to choose your own music? And he handed me this little pad, and for a moment, I was just sitting there going, oh, I
just to see if he can handle it.
And then a guy with big eyebrows and glasses turns around and starts raising his eyebrows.
It's like, that's my jam. Yeah. It's like Terry Crews and White Chicks when they put out 1,000 Miles. It's like, this is my song.
Hey, Mo.
Zolaxon is happy.
Zolaxon, you think that we're too, that I'm too mean to Wallach?
I was amused by it today.
That's the point. I think the whole point
is entertaining. It's very entertaining.
Because I was going to say, you're known for treating him with such respect.
Right, I think John and I have that like hate-love relationship. Not that I hate him. It's not even snowy.
No.
But, I mean, we break balls.
Yeah.
If you can't break balls in this business, you don't have thick skin.
First guy who called me after I called the early Celtic game, that man right there.
I never said you did a bad job.
I'm not insinuating
that you did.
This is not about you.
But there are times you get stuck in the car, and you hear it, and you think, wow, he's really freaking good.
And I've told you before when we were at a game one time together, and I said, I see why you think it's a big deal to do this. But then I also like to remind you that you're talking to 1/100th of the audience that you talk to every morning.
It's true.
Wow.
How is that mean?
It doesn't need to be said.
Fred's telling you how much bigger he is than you.
Well, I think that's well documented.
You don't need to add that. You could just tell me he's really good at calling the games and leave it at that.
No, well, Hardy, you know what I say?
Oh, a wise guy, huh?
That's what he says.
You know what I say? What you're afraid to.
That's what makes him drive time.
That's why I tell it like it is. Because I tell it like it is,
that's
baby.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
There's this writer for Highlights Magazine.
What the hell's going on in here?
There's a fraud. I heard that writer for Highlights is a fraud, and we're going to take him down.
Yeah.
He said that Goofus at one point was actually Gallant. He did something very nice. And I am calling BS. We are taking down Highlights
for 10
fraud.
Days.
10 days. All right.